In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, wanting to ask you the question, do you know why Jesus Christ died? Have you turned to him as your refuge? You know, it's very easy for us to just sort of drift through life with our ups and downs and ins and outs. We have our troubles, and every now and then we may knock on God's door for help. But it's a very different thing to turn completely around and go in his way, to cast ourselves utterly as an act of complete commitment to him as our refuge. That makes all the difference in the world. And then you begin to discover that underneath are the everlasting arms. That's a place of security, a place of tranquility and peace. It's the only peace that there is in this world, the only real peace. And my subject this week is salvation from sin. I want to ask that question again. Do you know why Jesus died? Some of you would immediately say, yes, he died for our sins, and you're absolutely right. Was he a martyr? Some of you might say yes to that one. I don't think that would be an accurate term unless you're using it in the very ancient original Greek sense, which means witness. He was a witness. He came to witness to who his father was. But he was not a martyr in the sense of being helpless in his death. He laid down his life voluntarily. Was it an accident? No. It's amazing how many verses in the New Testament tell us exactly why Jesus died. If I were to ask you for one, many of you would immediately think of John 3:16, a very good one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:10 that says, he died for us that we might live in company with him. I love that picture of living in company with Christ, living with him in the world, living with him in my town, living with him in my house, living with him at my work, my kitchen work, my laundry work, my desk work, always living in company with Christ. And that's one of the reasons why he died for us, that we might live in company with him. 1 Timothy 2:6, to win freedom for all mankind. Galatians 1:4, to rescue us out of this present age of wickedness. And remember, that was written 2,000 years ago. The present age that Paul was referring to was a wicked age, he said. I have a sneaking suspicion that our present age might even be far more wicked. Jesus came to rescue us out of this present age of wickedness. Romans 5, 8, and 9, his death on the cross was proof of his love for us. We are justified, says 2 Corinthians 5:15, by his sacrificial death. So he died to justify us. He died that we might cease to live for ourselves. And in Romans 14, verses 7 to 9, this is what we find. None of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. I think of that verse often when I pray for my friends who have cancer. I pray for healing for them, of course. But I also remember that whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And I know several people who have cancer who know that, humanly speaking, their time is very short, and they are living joyfully and peacefully because they believe what this verse says. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And verse 9 says, "For this very reason Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living." In 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25, we read, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." He died for us because we're sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 John 3:4 says he died to do away with our sins. Verse 8 in the same chapter says he died for the very purpose of undoing the devil's work. 1 John 4:9, to bring us life. Verse 10, the love he showed us in sending his son is the remedy for the defilement of our sins. The remedy for the defilement of our sins. 1 Peter 3:18, he, the just, suffered for the unjust to bring us to God. Titus 2:14 says he set us free from all wickedness and to make us a pure people, marked out for himself, eager to do good. Galatians 4:5 says he died in order that we might attain the status of sons. Now, I know that you couldn't possibly have taken down all those references, but I hope that you noted the fact that he did not merely die to save us from the punishment of our sins. He didn't die merely to give us a free ticket to heaven. That is a very common and very distorted view of the reason for Jesus' crucifixion. Very few of us seem to understand at all what the cross was about. We hear people say what the world needs is love, love, love. Well, that's true if we're talking about the love of God, but I don't think most people are thinking of the love of God. We just need to love each other more, and any of us who have tried it very seriously find that that's an impossibility, to love people who are not lovely or lovable or loving. Does the world need sympathy? Yes, but only the strengthening, courageous kind of sympathy that is found in the Christ of the cross. Reach out and touch someone, we hear. A secular commercial tells us that. Well, that's a nice thing to do, isn't it? Understanding, sympathy, love. But we have all of that in Christ, and we really don't have it any other way that I know of. We can't by any means always count on each other to be loving or sympathetic or even understanding. I wonder how many of you are familiar with Oswald Chambers' little classic called My Utmost for His Highest. It's one of the most popular books of all time. It has been in print since 1935. Millions upon millions of copies have been sold. Oswald Chambers was born in 1874 in Scotland. He worked in mission camps for British troops and in YMCA camps back in the days when YMCA stood for Young Men's Christian Association, and it really was a Christian association. He had a mind keen as a blade, as those of you who are familiar with his writings, I think, will agree. Direct, hard-hitting, he was even a sledgehammer type. He says, for example, here's an example of his sledgehammer stuff. Don't waste time asking God to keep you from doing things. Don't do them. And this is what he says in December 20th. This is a little book for each day's reading. He starts with John 12:32. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. If sympathy is all that human beings need, then the cross of Christ is a farce. There was no need for it. What the world needs is not a little bit of love, but a surgical operation. When you are face to face with a soul in difficulty spiritually, remind yourself of Jesus Christ on the cross. If that soul can get to God on any other line, then the cross of Jesus Christ is unnecessary. If you can help others by your sympathy or understanding, you are a traitor to Jesus Christ. You have to keep your soul rightly related to God and pour out for others on His line, not pour out on the human line and ignore God. The great note today is amiable religiosity. If I'm speaking to anyone today whose life has been characterized more or less by just an amiable religiosity, I want to help you to have a little bit clearer understanding of why the Lord Jesus Christ left His Father's home, what it was that He came to earth to do for us and to be to us.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.